step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18 plus.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Cash rules everything around me. Cream get the money. Dollar bill, yo.
Welcome to the FTN Fantasy Baseball Podcast. Today is Monday, April 17th, and I am your host, Matthew Davis. And today is Mondays with Matty Wood, and I am waking up with Dave McDonald. He is my friend, my guest. We have gotten the pleasure to hang out multiple times in Las Vegas. I am now part of his beloved Glarf League, which is part of the Earth Series. So we were able to hang out in Chicago and Wrigleyville as well earlier this spring or winter, whichever is your time of year right now. Last week it was 70 degrees and now it is snowing here in Chicago. But yes, my guest is Dave McDonald. You can follow him on Twitter at RunDMCD. He's a high stakes fantasy baseball player, a good friend of mine, like I said, and I'm excited to talk some baseball with you, Dave. Thank you so much for coming on early for you. What's good, my man? Please tell the people what's going on and where we can find your work outside of just Twitter.
Yeah, man. Really glad to be here. Always want to wake up early for you, Matty. You're definitely the morning bird of the two of us. I'm the night owl. I don't actually, you know, my fellow Glarfer and good friend of mine, Jake Kalisker, and I used to, we do still have a pod, High Stakes Heat, but we haven't done it in a while, so that was really the only other work that I do during season. I have so many leagues that I manage, and you know, we both have jobs and everything going on. So haven't been able to do as much as I've wanted to, but I do plan to get more involved as we go along here. But for now, yeah, just interacting with people on Twitter and just trying to stay on top of all of my teams right now, which is kind of a full-time job. So I'm sure you have a lot of leagues as well. I know you mentioned Glarf, one of them. We both do the main event. We, you know, a lot of high stakes leagues between us.
Yeah, this is still an exciting time of year, as long as you haven't lost too many big key pieces early. You know, hopefully you don't have a team with Jeffrey Springs and a couple of those other guys that have hit the IL. And
it's
could
been
be out for
rough
some time.
Lately. It's been it so
has.
Rough. I mean,
it has. Who have you lost? Did you have any Woody?
Yeah, not in NFBC actually, but I did have some Woody in Fantrax and Yahoo. I'm trying to think, like, really the big one for me so far. Well, Tim Anderson sounds like he's only going to miss a couple weeks now, which is nice. I'm finally getting Max Fried back today. That'll be good because that was that sucked. Yes,
right at the beginning of the year, man. That is tough.
I know. There was another one too. I can't remember who, but there was who else got? There's another pitcher.
Springs?
I only had a couple of Springs, luckily. I can't remember now. I'm sorry. Yeah, I didn't get a chance to look and see who went down here, but I know I lost a couple of other guys. Bubic, just won in a couple of leagues and then he went down. So that sucks because that sounds like it's not gonna be that sounds like he might be done, honestly. I'm holding on to him for now, but I'm not overly optimistic with when it comes to flex restraints.
You see, people, Dave has players that get injured too,
All pitchers, man. You know, yeah, all
dude. I mean, yeah. So I know people like to give you shit, and I even sometimes will give you shit. You know, but me, obviously, in a friendly, sarcastic way. Some people maybe make things a little bit too far or too seriously, but. Speaking of work, so FTN Fantasy, we're talking on the FTN Fantasy Baseball Podcast. Vlad Sedler and I, Eric Cross and our crew, Michael Govier, Todd Whitestone, Jay Kuchik, Adam Young, Alex Blickle, etc., putting together all sorts of in-season content right now. Vlad Sedler has his weekly Fab article. I'm doing the updated closer sheet, which is all color-coded and gets updated daily, as well as a bi-weekly closer report that is anywhere from 2,000 to 3,000 words each write-up, doing the weekly hitter rankings as well, and Eric Cross is doing the weekly pitcher rankings. You can use promo code Davis for 20% off. All right, now that I got the bullshit out of the way, get those lineup set. So today is Patriots Day. Man, has Patriots Day ever gone good for anybody pitching? I know the last recent one leaves a scar in my mind with Lucas Giolito, right? Was that last year where he had the big terrible outing?
I believe so. You are the expert on the terrible outings, though. Yeah, so
I think, I think it was Lucas Giolito last year. So Patriots Day, if you're playing in the NFBC, the Red Sox and Los Angeles Angels are going to be locking very early. And for people on the West Coast, what time is it? 7 a.m. on their time, I think it locks. You got to get up and have your shit together this morning. I'm sorry, it'll be 8 a.m. on the West Coast. So once those two teams play, they are going to be locking. And Shohei Ohtani is taking the mound. Let's like segue into him. We're going to kind of bounce around a little bit. So Shohei Ohtani, he's going to be making that Patriots Day start at Fenway Park, going up against the Red Sox. And then this is going to be his first two-step of the year. And then in his second start, it's going to be a home start against Kansas City. Do you have any Shohei Ohtani? And if you do, are you using him as a pitcher or a hitter this week?
Yeah, I have a couple of Shohei Ohtani. I'm a big fan of his. I actually kind of thought he would go higher than he did, although he ended up going higher in the live events than he was going before that. I always thought, given his unique flexibility, he makes so much sense in these leagues, because sometimes we lose a bunch of guys that we're not expecting to. And this is kind of my point with Ohtani when I was saying he should be in the conversation for the number one overall pick, because you lose guys like Woodruff, Springs, you know, these aces. You think you're really good in pitching, and now all of a sudden, you know, you draft Wisniewski and Schmidt, and you're thinking they're going to be good, and they're not good so far, you know, and you need that boost to your rotation. And maybe you've done better with the hitting than you thought you're going to do, and you don't need Ohtani on the offensive side. It's so nice to be able to move a guy who's every bit as good of a pitcher as he is a hitter. So, like, I hear all these people talking about, well, you know, you're going to use him as a hitter 95% of the time, and I disagree with that. I've already used Ohtani as a pitcher, I think 2 out of 3 weeks so far this year. So this week I'm using him for his two start as a pitcher for sure. You know, I know, you know, like you said, the Patriots Day, Boston, and all that. You still got to roll him. I mean, two starts. This guy is an elite starter. I mean, outside of healthy DeGrom, I think he and maybe Gerrit Cole, I think he's a top three starting pitcher right now.
I think, and I've said this before, I think it's next year we start to see him be the consensus 1-1 potentially, if we see another year of him staying healthy and providing you know, the upside and just awesomeness that he's doing on both sides. I'm also using him as a pitcher this week. Funny you say that. So I've actually used him 3 out of 3 times, and now we're going into week 4, and I'm going to be using him as a pitcher again. And yeah. I listened to the Pull Hitter, the Meatball Mafia Patreon podcast with Phil Dussault, Steve Weimer, and Rob DiPietro. And Phil was absolutely correct when he said, Phil Dussault, when he said, if you drafted Shohei Ohtani when you drafted him, though, you're admitting that it's not really a mistake, but I didn't draft Ohtani saying, yeah, I'm going to be using him as a pitcher as much as I have already. But things do change, and stolen bases are way up. And for me, I'm actually leading in some leagues, Dave, in stolen bases right now. I can't believe it.
Holy crap.
Yeah.
For
and my powers
who aren't familiar with your work. Maddie avoids steals like the plague. I mean, dude, straight up, he'll draft his 7th power hitter before he'll draft anybody who steals a damn base. So this is this is quite the turn of events here.
and I'm not light on power there. So, you know, for me, it has been I need to use Ohtani as a pitcher. I haven't liked some of the matchups for even Patrick Sandoval. I sat him a couple times. Mike Clevinger, Michael Wacha, those are some of the back end rotation guys that I just don't really want to roll out right now. So I'd much rather use Ohtani. And I do not have the numbers on what he has earned thus far, but I'm pretty certain that Ohtani has earned more as a pitcher so far. So
he hasn't stolen any bases yet. So that could also be
for sure
his value. Do you think he's going to run a lot this year? I didn't know, honestly, because a lot of times you see these guys as they start to get into their late 20s, the power hitters, you know, like Mike Trout and whatnot, they want to keep them healthy. They're middle of the order guys, they're power hitters. You kind of see them start to slow down. I think he'll still probably steal 10 to 12 bases. I don't know about the 20 plus bases that some projection systems are calling for, though.
Yeah, maybe not. I mean, we know that teams are scaling up, most teams, not all, in the stolen bases, and some players in general are you know, ramping things up. Like one player in general, I think it was Chaz McCormick, already hit as the career high, you know, in the first few weeks, albeit that he's missing time with some vision issues right now. Speaking of stolen bases real quick, Bo Bichette has an on-base percentage of .400 with zero stolen bases, and you and I both were very high on him. I know that you were as well. What's going on there? Why isn't Bo running?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Right. I saw that and was like, whoa.
Yeah. He, unlike Ohtani, has actually attempted a steal. He got caught. And you know, last year we saw him get caught 8 times. So I don't know if he's just, if it's just a matter of him being a little slower or, you know, I'm not sure, honestly, what the story is there. I'm hoping that he runs some. I do expect him to steal more than Ohtani. I'm thinking maybe like 15 bases, but I was never thinking he's going to be like 25 plus. I was thinking he's going to be hoping for 15 to 20. And I just thought he was a really, really good hitter. Like the power and the average. Yeah.
He's so good, man.
Oh yeah.
So good. Yeah. 4 home runs, 22 total counting stats and RBIs and runs, .375 batting average, ISO currently at .222. I think that the speed will, or not the speed, we know that he's fast. I think that the stolen bases will be coming for him. Let's get into some bummer news, some recent news and notes. So you already touched on Chris Bubich, which is awesome. So he was added in a bunch of main events all outside of just one last week. So he was 98% owned in the NFBC main event. Pitched against the Atlanta Braves, gave up a lot of hard contact, left the game. News comes out that Chris Bubich has a left flexor strain. He's still currently rostered in 38% of main events. Kind of like you mentioned, you're holding on, giving the wait and see approach. You can afford to, you know, give a little to wait for some more news. If the news gets worse, I'm assuming you're just going to be cutting and moving on.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they wanted to give it a week or two. I'm just going to wait to see what news comes out. It's kind of the same with a lot of these guys. Like Woodruff, I think he's probably going to be out for months. But if I don't have a spot where I'm not going to be taking a zero anywhere, I'm not going to replace him until I have more information. That's my general policy.
Will Smith, the catcher for the Dodgers, was placed on the IL. At first it was deemed an illness.
Kind of came out of nowhere. Yeah, it was kind of weird.
This is actually a big blow to me. I ended up ponying up for him in 2 main events and in an auction, and things were going off great. I have speed. I had a catcher with power and average. Like life is finally great for Matty Wood, but not anymore. The interesting thing is here is that it's the 7-day IL because it's the concussion. Right. He's eligible to come back off of it midweek. I believe Thursday, the 20th or 21st, he's eligible in the Cubs series in Chicago here, which I have third row seats behind the Dodgers dugout. So if you're watching that game, be sure to look for me. Or you can hear me if you're listening on the radio or watching the game.
You taking Brooklyn to the game with you?
Not to this one. Not when I'm sitting behind the dugout. Like, yeah, this is daddy time. So I'm gonna have a couple extra beers. When I take her, I only have a beer maybe two as the game drags on. But yeah, I'm going to be having an Uber from Bucktown with one of my friends from college. And it's going to be a boys' night out. It's the only night game out of the 4-game series. The other three are day games. Yeah, so it's going to be a good time. And so Will Smith, the catcher, off to a great start, as expected. But yeah, so we've seen I'm terrified, to be honest with you. I'm hoping for his health in general, you know, because we don't like to see head injuries, that he comes back and he's the same. I know concussions can get really bad. The one that comes to my mind was, the awesome hitter on the Minnesota Twins. I just had his name and now everyone's screaming at me.
Currently on the Twins?
No, a long time ago.
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't know.
Dustin Morneau. There we go. Thank goodness. Okay. Yeah. So remember how Morneau was elite, or getting to that level, and started having concussion issues and things slowly started to taper off. And then, you know, when you get multiple concussions, they can start to reoccur more often as time goes on because you become more sensitive to them. Lightheadedness, dizziness, nausea, headaches, etc. So you can kind of feel like a vertigo feeling at times. Unfortunately, I've dealt with them. I was cold clocked in an Oakland Raider game one time wearing a Joe Namath jersey. Tooth went through the mouth. Jaw was on one side or the other. So I've dealt with concussions.
What happened there? Was there a story there? Someone punched you?
A guy that was north of six feet. We were leaving the game. The Jets were getting blown out by the Raiders. This was when Ryan Fitzpatrick was the quarterback, Eric Decker, wide receiver, that era. And Fitzpatrick broke his thumb on like the first snap of the game and Geno Smith came in. And so, either way, results not mattered. We were leaving the game and I was leaving with my mom and my wife. And I was hit from the side and hit the concrete floor. I blinked out for a few seconds, came to and looked down and my Namath jersey, my 1969 Namath jersey was just covered in blood. So I was sent to the Oakland ER and they had to do, you know, MRIs, CAT scans, all that good stuff.
Jesus, just because you were wearing a Jets jersey?
Yeah, man. Oakland was the absolute nut low worst place to go for a visiting fan of any sport, any visiting. And I was, it's even worse if you were wearing somebody else from the AFC West. So if you have Chargers, Chiefs, Broncos, oh boy. So I'm glad that they at least got out and went to Vegas where it's more touristy and tickets are going to cost more and you're going to clean out all the fucking riffraff. Cause that place was just, it was a fucking nightmare. I don't even know why I went, but I wanted to go watch my Jets. They were on the West Coast. So fuck them. My jaw wasn't broken. The dude probably thought he broke my jaw cause my face was just destroyed, but,
brutal.
Yeah. So Will Smith, I didn't, real quick with him, I did not add a catcher. I was texting with draft chief Peter Christensen last night. And he's like, I'm going to add somebody in a 12 team just cause I kind of want to keep up and have the little more leniency, you know, to hold the weight down, to wait and see. But for me in a 15 team wanting to hold pitching, not really having somebody to cut, I'm going to hope that he just returns this week. And I take a zero for just the first half. That's me being on the optimistic side, of course. If he doesn't return after this week, then obviously I'm going to have to put him on my bench and add a catcher this upcoming week. But I wasn't ready to do that yet just because of who you're going to be drafting. Now you're having to cut somebody. I mean, you could fucking get an 0-for-8, right, for the first half of the week. And then he could come back, Will Smith, that is, and you're up and running. So
the catcher replacement value is so terrible. I mean, like, unless there's someone sitting out there who's like a legit good hitter, but there probably isn't. You're probably deciding between like Joey Bart and Yan Gomes, who you might only get like three games from all week anyhow. So, and like you said, it could be an 0-for-8, you know, when you're talking about catchers, at the replacement at the 15 team level, it's so sparse that, that's like one of the times that I don't think taking a zero is necessarily, the wrong idea. With concussions, you just never know, man. I've seen people miss entire seasons within concussion, or I've seen people come back after the minimum, you know, and we're talking about a catcher though, too, you know, that's a particularly tough position to catch, to play while you have a concussion, because you know, you're getting clipped by pitches, you know, foul balls, possibly bats. You know, that's got to be the worst for someone with a concussion.
Really wish he could learn how to play third base or just be the DH. But unfortunately, JD Martinez is there, so that's not really a path to more plate appearances right now and staying outside or behind the plate. Okay, let's get into some Padres notes before we get into the three hot fab ads. The Padres, they're currently, it doesn't really matter, but I wanted to give the standings. Shout out to the Diamondbacks. They're in first place in the NL West at 9-7. Then the Dodgers are 8-8, and the Padres are 8-9. Tatis coming back on Thursday. The Padres play four games this week. So if you're in an absolute pinch and for whatever reason, cut your middle infielder or cut your fifth outfielder or your utility player because Tatis is coming back. I guess roll them and get that one game. It could potentially be better than a player from Washington or a player from Baltimore that only gets two. But if there's a team with three or four games and you get some good handedness, maybe it's, you should probably just sit him this first week, first half of the week, but fuck, you should probably start getting very, very, very excited, because he could potentially be the number one overall player, for the remainder of the season. Do you have any Tatis? I know you're not the biggest Tatis fan in general when it comes to, just because he's the wrist, the shoulder. I mean, there has been a lot of shit that's gone wrong. I assume you don't have Tatis this year.
No, not this year. I've had him in the past. I agree with you. Like, you know, there's every possibility he could be the number one overall player. Like, I was aware, you know, when I decided, you know, in the first two rounds, I just couldn't do it. Because not just, you know, two wrist surgeries and I'm sorry, you just said the other one.
The shoulder.
And you know, he plays so hard, he could be diving all over the field and pop it back out again. And the wrists, you know, a lot of times when guys come back from wrist injuries, their power is sapped a bit. Now he's crushing it right now, and he crushed it in spring, so we'll see. He might be perfectly fine. It was just too much risk for me in the first two rounds, and I didn't want to hold him too, because he had the suspension on top of that, where you had to, you know, wait what, 3 weeks or whatever for him to come back to. So I totally understood the pick. Actually, my boy Tony ended up drafting him in one league because we hated the end of the draft and we kept getting 13 through 15, and we were like, it was just ridiculous. And we were like, okay, we can only take, you know, Strider and Jordan, and like, we were taking the same guys because we don't really like that many guys at the end of the draft, at the end of the first round, and like, that's what was falling. And so Tony was like, I got to do one that's different. I can't be taking the same guys, because that's a lot of risk too.
Sure.
With not diversifying your shares, because if you keep getting the same slots and you keep taking the same guys, you know, you're so dependent on those guys. And, you know, Jordan wasn't without risk either. So, you know, Tony in one league was like, you know what, I'm doing it in my solo main, I'm going to take a shot on Tatis. And I was like, oh boy. All right. Well, Godspeed, buddy. I, you know, Jake and I were both like, can't do it, but I get it.
Zach Betancourt and I, we're only doing one main event this year together, and we started off with Garrett Cole. And long time ago when we text all through winter, you know how you got your consortium, you guys do your thing too. And yeah. Zach and I just text, and at one point we were like, oh man, if we could start in the middle of the draft and get Cole, because we felt like he was just going later than he should have, because pitching was getting pushed back just a little bit this year with all the hitters going up first, up front. And there was at one point we were like, yeah, and what if we could just, Tatis just fell to us in the middle of the second round, because we know he's gonna, you know, get some helium the closer we get to the live events and doing the main events. And we're like, oh, Cole and Tatis start would that sounds pretty good, you know. And yeah, lo and behold, we start off with Cole, and in the second round Tatis is there at pick seven, you know, middle of the second round, and we did it. We fucking popped him. So I've got to unfortunately root for Fernando Tatis Jr. this year.
Because you're a big Dodgers fan, so are you a Tatis like hater in general?
In real life, like if we're watching a Padres Dodgers game, I'm not a fucking fan. Okay. Tatis. I'm not a fan of him. I'm not really a fan of Soto. I don't really like Machado. I don't like any of them.
But you're like me, right? Where like you're a professional. You're not going to let that get in the way of playing good fantasy baseball, right? Like, yeah, you're not going to like avoid Padres.
Just drafted, like I said, Tatis in the second round of a $1,700 draft. So no, when Tatis, when he's even playing the Dodgers, I'll be rooting for him to smash for fantasy purposes. Absolutely. Joe Musgrove is another Padre that is going to be returning. He made his final rehab appearance, I believe it was last night on Sunday or Sunday during the day. Went five innings, threw 69 pitches. Not really going to get into the results. He is set to start later this week against Arizona. I believe it's on the road in Arizona. If you have Joe Musgrove, you fire him up, right?
I think so. I have him in a couple of Fantrax leagues, and you know, where I can, I'm putting him in. There might be one where I have a lot of good options that I'm just going to wait a week. He should be pretty close to, like, he'll probably be at like 85 pitches, maybe 80, 85. You know, it's the Diamondbacks are not a bad team, but they're not a team that you're going to, you know, shy away from with your really good starters. And yeah, I think he gave up like 4 runs yesterday. It was in low A ball. But I think he had like 8 strikeouts and no walks. So that's really what I look for more than anything else, is just make sure control looks good and, you know, he's getting his strikeouts and everything. But I think you should fire him up if especially in 15s, you won't have any better options, I don't think.
Yeah, the Diamondbacks are a little bit better, but it's a good park for him to pitch in, and it is Joe Musgrove. And I think now that we saw 69, like you said, 85 pitches, that would be good enough for me. But don't get yourself down if he doesn't strike out too many. They only have a 20% strikeout rate on the season.
Wow, that's actually really crazy.
Snakes look pretty good, man. They've definitely improved, and they're exciting to watch. Okay, last night's Fab, Taj Bradley, Edouard Julien, and Zach Neto. Did you get any of the three?
I'll be honest with you. I got Taj Bradley in Glarf. Where I have no money, by the way. I'm down to $400 and we're not even in May yet. It's real bad. real bad. But no, Taj Bradley, I thought he would be going for like low 100 range. I did not anticipate the $200-$300 bids at all. That blew me away. And I'm kind of curious as to, I'm assuming maybe this was in Vlad's Fab article, which I should, but don't subscribe to. And then also, I don't know if Rob and, you know, Phil and the Meatball Mafia stuff, if maybe they were pumping up his price. That blew me away. I was not expecting, because he's only had one startup so far. And he was good. And I think his Stuff Plus number was like fourth best of all starters. So I'm assuming maybe that played a big part into it too. I did get a cheap share of Neto, or at least relatively cheap. I think it like 55 or 60 in my super. So that was fine. I don't know. He's so young. They rushed him up from the draft last year. I don't know what to expect out of him, honestly. He's had a slow start. My expectations are not super high, but you know, how many, talking about pitcher injuries, holy shit. Middle infield has been decimated lately. So people are trying to add these guys, and Julian's another one, you know, leading off for the Twins right now. But my question with Julian is, what happens when Polanco comes back? Because he just played back-to-back games in the minors, him and Kirilloff. You know, they could come back anytime, and they have too many guys that they need to play at DH as it is. You know, they got Buxton, you know, who can't stay healthy. All these other guys, Kirilloff, Polanco. I mean, they have to pretty much play Polanco at second. No. So what happens to Julian? I mean, I don't know. I couldn't figure out why I should be paying up for Julian, because I just don't know how long he's going to stick around.
So I ended up adding him in one league, in my auction. I don't share it with you. my auction championship in Las Vegas. I just threw in a keep him honest bid at $37. And ended up getting him. But I'm also in agreement with you that when Polanco does come up, I think that he does get sent down. So I'm kind of like, okay, they do get a lot of righties this week. So I'm hoping I get a massive amount of burn at leadoff and he has a really good week. And we'll go from there. I could see him getting sent back down right when Polanco gets called up. That's certainly in the range and outcomes there. So $37, if hopefully I get at least one really good week. I was just wanting to keep him honest. And apparently I was the most honest there. And then Zach Neto, I didn't get any of him. Just because, like you said, you don't know too much. I don't ever really know too much when it comes to some of these guys. So I'm trying to pick the brain of others.
Especially the prospect guys. And we have one of those now in Glarf with Eric Halterman, and he actually paid up for Neto more than I paid for Taj Bradley. I got Bradley for 178. I think he paid like close to 200 for Neto. And I was just like, holy shit. Okay.
So the three in total. So the issue or the question mark I'd have with Neto is when Taylor Ward's in the lineup, where does Neto go in the lineup? Even if he is playing every day and doesn't get sent back down. That's one issue for me, is hitting lower in the lineup. That's a problem. So anyways, I didn't get any Neto. And then Taj Bradley, I missed out on as well. I want to go into the top bids. So shout out to our boy, Zach Waxman. He puts together each week. He's awesome with scraping data. So he put together a week four main event fab preview that shows the top bid down to the lowest bid for each player for the big ones that get acquired. And it has which main event league it was, the fantasy manager who added him, and the bid amount. So the highest bid for Taj Bradley was 557. The highest for Julien was 259. And the highest for Neto was 319. So there was certainly some money that went off the board there. The lowest, let's give the lowest to. The lowest actually went to the overall champ last year. Fucking stay lucky, Bob. We're not lucky, but get lucky there, I should say. He's not, he lets it rip. He's solid. $99 Bob got him for. So sub 10%. You got to love seeing that. That's for Taj Bradley. Zach Neto, his lowest was $23, and Julien's was to Scott Jenstad for $27. So those were the highs and lows for the three there. All right, let's get into one two-step I wanted to ask you about. Hunter Gaddis, he's had a few rough starts to begin the season. He does pitch for the Guardians. We know that they can develop pitching. There's some things underneath the hood we won't get into deep on the underlying stuff. But Gaddis, he has two steps at Detroit, then versus Miami. He's 94% owned in the main event. If you're in one of your Yahoo leagues, or you can still add him for two of these two starts, would you have any interest in rolling him out?
No, I'll be honest with you. Even in 15s, I don't have much interest. Like him and Peyton Battenfield, I know, did decently in his first start. I'm just not really a believer in them. You know, I don't follow a ton of other teams as minors guys, but for Guardians, I do follow pretty closely. And I talked to, you know, our other buddy James Anderson about guys a lot. I don't think that Gaddis is good, and I'd rather play a better pitcher against tougher competition than a pitcher that I don't think is good enough to really be in play, even versus weak competition. So for me, Gaddis wasn't really an option anywhere this week.
I love hearing that. People ask me about Michael Grove when remember the two-step going into week two? You know, won the fifth spot and saw some bids in one of my main events north of 10%. And he just looked awful in those first two starts. And then, of course, regression comes to bite everybody in the ass when he gets dropped and then pitches awesome against the Cubs. And so he's going to get at it again. He's actually going to be making the start, I believe, on Thursday when I'm sitting behind the dugout. So all the real close look to Michael Grove, but similar. I'm a Dodgers fan. You're a Guardians fan. I don't know much about most prospects. I had some interest in Grove, though. Obviously, I think he's better than Hunter Gaddis, or potentially, you know, equal or similar to, but with the Dodgers and what they can do as well. I wasn't willing to pony up for him, so to speak, to take a chance on that first two step. Similar situation, different team context, or organization. Dave, what's good today? What do you, besides work and all the real life rubbish that we have to go through on the day to day? It is Monday. Hopefully it's an exciting Monday, because we do have baseball starting in a couple of hours. So that's cool.
That's true.
What else? What are you watching for? Do you have any starting pitchers going today that you're excited about?
It's actually an exciting day for starting pitching. I mean, you've got everything from I mentioned earlier, Max Fried is coming back. I'm excited to watch him. I drafted a decent amount of Max Fried this year. I really liked him at his draft cost. Hoping that everything's okay. He was, even before the hamstring injury, he didn't look great. So I'm hoping he, you know, bounces back nicely here and that he stays healthy. We got the GOAT. We got DeGrom pitching today. We got Ohtani, who we mentioned before, pitching today. We got Brian Bayo coming up to make his first start of the season today. And then Wesneski, I'm hoping to see a bounce back from, I was huge on Wesneski this year. So really want to see how he performs today. And then also my boy Jesus Luzardo, who I put down a bet when it was at like plus 15,000 for NL Cy Young. So let's go.
Love it. Love it. Love it. Yeah. So, okay. So the Christian Javier going up against Kevin Gausman.
Ooh, yeah. That's a good
that's
one. Too.
That's going to be a good one. So Jacob deGrom, real quick, all jokes aside, I actually have him for the first time in my entire fantasy baseball portfolio, life, resume, whatever the heck you want to call it. Got him in the Vegas main event. I wanted to diversify. I already had some Nola and Gausman and et cetera. And I he was there. And I said, you know what? Fuck it. Let's do it. Let's go for it. So as of right now, when you said that, when you were like, Gossman's pitching today too, I perked up a little bit. I'm like, oh, it's pitching. Every morning I wake up when he does pitch and I type in his name right now. This is what I'm doing every 5 days. Well, actually I'm doing it like the day after he pitches. And then the day he's supposed to pitch, type in his name, go to news, recent news, only beat like filter to the beat reporter. So people I'm following. And I make sure like, okay, he woke up healthy. He woke up the day after he started. He woke up the day healthy. He's going to pitch. Like we saw that with Max Scherzer just the other day. Like, oh, Max Scherzer's not pitching today. It's like, ah, fuck. This happens more times than we think. So it's really exciting to see him pitch. And just as a baseball fan in general, if we can just continue to watch him pitch, I mean, wow. He's a better, cooler, older version of Spencer Strider. And I think that we take we just like don't appreciate it enough. Sometimes I think we've used to say that about Ohtani, and I think we're all very appreciative as of now, but while he's healthy, it's just really special to watch him pitch. He's fucking awesome.
I mean, honestly, if not for health, DeGrom would be the first overall pick, I think, in every draft, at least in all of the high stakes main like live events. Cause I mean, his pitching skill is insane. just everything. But it's so hard to throw as hard as he does and stay healthy too. And you know, we've seen that a lot from him, and I have very little faith that he'll stay healthy, but like you said, you got to enjoy it while he is.
Yeah. There was a real quick before we get out of here, one last thing about guys that throw hard, but that were able to sustain it. I don't remember who to give credit to. I think I might've actually been listening to it on a radio broadcast. So it wasn't even a podcast or something I read. But there was some research done that was trying to translate Nolan Ryan and this day and era of what we have in technology and, you know, advanced data and all the metrics and everything, even just nutrition, right? And just everything. And they were saying, like, Nolan Ryan would have been sitting 104.
Holy shit, really?
Yeah, they were like, yeah, he would with everything like, you know, what we have nowadays and just the evolution, right? They were like, there was something on it that was like, they were trying to extrapolate all sorts of stuff. Obviously, it's a little projection.
Yeah.
hypothetical. It's a hypothetical. But it came out to like, yeah, he would have been pumping 104 and he did stay healthy. So man, what a beast he was too. So I wish I could have watched him a little bit more. All right, Dave, anything else you want to plug before we get out of here? I got to get this.
No,
up.
I mean, tonight, every Monday night I do Friends with Fantasy Benefits podcast with our friend, Justin Mason. So you can catch me there. And, I hope that Jake and I can get back into doing some high stakes heat here during the season. And, other than that, you can just see me on Twitter. You can follow me at RunDMcD. Make sure to add that D so you're not following the band.
There you go. I like it. Thank you so much again for joining me. And you and Jake, shout out to Jake Halusker.
Yeah, your buddy. That's your boy.
Love me some Jake. If you guys don't even have time to do the – I know you guys go for too long. Well, not too long. You guys go for a long time.
We do.
shorten them up so you don't have to give as much time.
He loves – if he does it, man, he's in for the multi – if he can do it for longer, he would. He loves
and maybe do them live. Maybe do them live. You do some live streams. We need more of that. We definitely need more.
That's a good
that,
point. So. It gives you another way to interact with people. Unfortunately, we do it late, so I don't know how many people are up that late. I know your ass has been in bed for hours by the time we start. So,
all right, my man. Well, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yes, this is the FTN Fantasy Baseball Podcast, Mondays with Matty Wood, and we will be back next week.
Peace.
We'll be right back.